As I explained before, prior to entering the seminary, I was going to school for network engineering and I was working at First Energy. And it really was an introvert's dream life. I would wake up, if it was during the school year, I'd go to class during the day, I would do my homework between classes in the quiet quad by myself, then I would go to work, then I would go home, then I'd go to bed, and repeat. Other than like computers and lectures, I didn't have a lot of social interaction, which again, an introvert's dream world. I could talk to the people I wanted to talk to as much as I wanted. And yes, I still saw family, I still saw friends. I did those things, but like I had this extremely kind of regimented routine I did every single day, and I loved it. And then I entered into the seminary, and the seminary is, in a way, it's somewhat monastic, where there's a very structured, regimented routine. There are bells, you know, at 7:15 a.m. where you need to be. You go to the class, you go to this thing, you go to that thing, you go to this event, you go to that event, and then you know exactly where you are, where to go. Everything is structured, and if you want some alone time, you just close the door. It's great. But then as I began to discern what I was actually preparing to do, as I actually got to know what it was like to become a diocesan priest, as I talked to men who were further on in formation in the seminary, I realized that the life of a diocesan priest is nothing like that. There is zero structure. There is almost zero routine. I'm by myself basically when I'm asleep. That's it. And at the same time, I started feeling this call, and I actually spent quite a few years from my second year in seminary all the way to the fifth, very actively discerning religious life. Because I felt, Lord, I feel called to this life of regiment, routine. I thrive when I have a consistent habit of prayer, where I don't have the distractions, where I don't have to worry about all this extra stuff, all these things that might interrupt what I want to do. And I spent several years discerning with the Discalced Carmelites. And I'd go up and I'd stay at Holy Hill Abbey in Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee. And it was beautiful. These men, they'd spend 2 holy hours a day in prayer. And the majority of their life, one of them heard about 5 to 7 hours of confession, did spiritual direction, and then led retreats for cloistered nuns. That was it. The other one did 2 holy hours. He was getting his doctorate in Mariology, which is a doctorate just on the study of one subset of Mary. And most of them had this amazing access to this beautiful spiritual library, and they were just academics. They woke up, they exercised, they prayed, they read, they did spiritual direction, repeat. Again, an introvert's dream life. So I spent several years, and every single time I tried to enter into it, there's just something in my heart that didn't sit right. I mean, I've even gotten to the point where I had filled out the first stage of the application process. Like, I was very serious about becoming a Carmelite. But every single time I tried to give my heart to it, every single time I was about to submit it, there's just something that felt off. It didn't feel right. And finally, one time I was on retreat, and I come before the Lord, and I'm just completely desperate. I'm like, Lord, this seems like the perfect life. Everything is structured. There's no distractions. There's nothing that's going to tempt me away from you. I won't even own a cell phone, let alone have to worry about using it too much. I won't have to worry about a car payment. I won't have to worry about sick calls. I'm not going to have to manage all the different kind of administrative stuff. Why don't you want me to do this? And Jesus' response was somewhat simple, but quite poignant. He just simply said, Alex, you know, if you want to become a Carmelite, I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to be angry at you. That'd be great. But if you ever consider the fact that maybe your spiritual life isn't about you, and if you spend your entire life trying to design this perfect place where you can get everything that you want, the exact thing that you imagine will be what you need to become holy, you might be wrong. And maybe I'm placing you into the world not because it's what will be the easiest or most comfortable for you, but because as Catholics, our life isn't about us. And that keeps coming up to my heart over and over and over again as I hear the gospel today. Because Jesus tells us that we are sent into this world, we are sent into the gardens of our lives, and he is explicit. There are going to be thorns. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be challenges. Every single one of us, I'm sure, has coworkers, people, family, friends, or just acquaintances that, if not directly, are passive-aggressively anti your faith. People who tempt you in certain ways. Maybe it's to lose your peace. Maybe it's to get frustrated. Maybe it's just, that guy. See, different situations where, oh, I could pray so much more when that would happen. After I retire, then I'll be holy. Once the kids reach a certain age, then I can spend time reading the Bible. Once this happened, we think that there are these things, these different levels, that once that is gone, I will be able to become a saint. But so often, it is those very things we think is preventing our sanctity where God is calling us into sanctity. And the amazing thing about the parable today, and the amazing thing about our lives as Catholics, is we can so easily fall into the trap of thinking, oh, there's a thorn bush. I need to rip it out. Or I need to do everything to get away from it. But if we actually believe in the grace of the sacraments which we receive, if we believe in the transforming power of God's love, then not only will that transform us, but it has the power to transform the people around us. My brothers and sisters, if we're very honest with ourselves, many times we are those thorn bushes. We are the people that are preventing other people's sanctity. We are the ones that could actually be challenging each other. And we need to take for truly seriously our call to be the light, to be the wheat, to be the good life of peace, love, and joy in the midst of this world of darkness. The two extremes we can so easily fall in today, especially in such a world full of division and hatred, is we can either see everyone else as an enemy whom we need to conquer, you know, or we see everyone as someone we just need to ignore, to avoid, and to kind of shut off and live in our own little bubble. Neither of those are the gospel. Jesus calls us, yes, and he plants us in different situations in life. Knowing that there will be challenges, there will be temptation, there will be struggle. But my brothers and sisters, those aren't reasons for us to fail. They are the very place we are called to live out our sanctity. Because perhaps that person at work that just gets on your nerves, maybe you're the very person that they need to have their hearts open to Christ. Maybe that situation that you just think, oh, that needs to go away so I can become a saint, maybe that is the very cross that will become your sanctification. It's a very important but very challenging call for each and every one of us. There is no such thing as the perfect life where then you can be holy. There will always be thorns. There are even thorns around him. He didn't rip them off, but accepted them as love. And in doing so, yes, they were difficult. Yes, they were painful. But the very thorns in his flesh, the thorn in his side, the thorns on his head were the very crown when he accepted them with love. So my brothers and sisters, no matter what challenges you are going through today, let us accept them with love as he did. It will not be easy, but it may transform those who are around us. So one day, we can be with them as we are gathered together in the joy of the kingdom.